All right, kind of a funky way to start the service, but good morning and Dad's happy Father's Day. Glad to see all of you here. My name is Kelly Green. I'm one of the leaders here at Harvest and also serve as finance director over the finance team. So for the next hour and a half, what I thought I would do was just take you through some finance stuff. No, I'm kidding. Pastor and Debbie, Pastor Steve and Debbie are on vacation, and much needed vacation, rest, and relaxation for them. And we just pray for them. And I'm excited to be back up here again. And as I was preparing, I was amazed. I was speaking to some people earlier, how amazed I am that Steve does this every week. I just cannot fathom that. And we are blessed to have him as a pastor, aren't we? Yes, amen. So let's take a moment of silent prayer and just pray for them on their vacation. Let's pray for us today that we have some teachable hearts that you really listen through what God's going to be telling you and for me and my message too. Let's pray. Amen. Well, last time I had the opportunity to speak, I took a look at King David in Psalm 13. And just to give you a recap, because it's kind of the foundation of what we're going to do for the rest of the message, we saw that David was really down in the dumps at the beginning of Psalms 13, and almost immediately he switched to rejoicing in the Lord. And as David was reflecting on all the bad things that were happening to him at the time, he was able to recognize through all that God was dealing with him bountifully, and that's really hard for a lot of us to do. So based on that, I laid down some challenges for us last time, and I asked some questions like what are we doing if we're not actively seeking to improve the lives of the people that we interact with every day? When we see someone down, what other mission could we possibly have than to come alongside them, help them back up? And we concluded that in the end, every single time you interact with someone, you have a chance to be a light or a chance to be a judge. You can be a light and you can bring some light of Christ into their life. Or you can be a judge and you're really just judging that they're not worthy of your time. Well, today I'm going to challenge us again. Anybody up for a challenge today? Yeah? All right. I'm going to ask, what are some ways that we can get to the point of doing that more consistently? So this morning I want to look more at the how part of that, the practical part of walking that Christian walk. And we've talked about why before. We've talked that the why is because of our salvation, not to gain our salvation. We're not doing our things to gain it. Christ already did that for us on the cross, amen? Amen. That's why we're on the path. So how? How do we construct this way of living, this way of personal operating, so that we spend less time off of the path and more time on the path as we go through our days? Because that's the difficult time, isn't it? When we seem to, we just know, you can just tell in your heart, I'm not where I need to be right now. To the left or to the right of where our journey would be taking us. And it's hard. We need a compass. That would be nice. Or vibration strips. You know those vibration strips at the side of the road? When you're driving and you're starting to not really pay attention. And all of a sudden, wah! And you're kind of jarred back into reality. That would be very handy. I picture myself at the soccer game. The refs not being particularly good or bad. But there's that parent on the other team's sideline. Does everybody know that parent that I'm talking about? He thinks that all of his kids are angels and all of our kids are thugs, and he's extremely loud about it. It's very obnoxious. And then he makes that statement gosh, we wouldn't even be ahead if the refs weren't helping our team. So the typical human reactions I've noted have a lot of variation in it. You've got on one end of the spectrum, you have the people who listen to that and they pray for patience. Then on the other end of the spectrum, you tend to have the people that want to say something back. Not always, it's always a wise thing to do. Wouldn't it be great as if when we started to make those kind of decisions, you'd get, and it would jar you back into where you're supposed to be. An early warning system. Luckily for me, I have an early warning system in those circumstances. Just as those thoughts are forming in my head, I feel the hand of God. No, wait a minute. It's the hand of my wife, Sharon, on my thigh, squeezing. And if I start to open my mouth, the squeeze gets a lot harder and fingernails become involved. And I'm wearing shorts, so that's not always pleasant. So we don't have the vibration chips, but we also have an early warning system. And Steve talked about this a couple months ago. The Holy Spirit is our early warning system. The Holy Spirit promises to guide us and direct us in Isaiah 30. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the left or when you turn to the right. He will direct our path. That's a promise. And sometimes I do get direction like this. I'll get just a feeling of an urging in my heart to go in a certain direction, or I might feel a peace, finally a peace about a certain decision that I was trying to make. But then other times, not so much. Not so much. Do you ever struggle with wondering why you're not hearing anything from God when you're asking him? Why isn't he directing my path? I'm not hearing anything. And I don't know that I can answer why. I think that would be probably around 12 sermons, ranging from respecting in God's timing on something, learning to rest in him, understanding that God's going to refine us through trials because maybe our heart isn't right where it should be on a topic, and he needs us to move closer to him before he can even work with us. But it's because of those times that we need to ask some questions to help us know if God's being silent or if we just can't hear him. So what can I do to change my heart so that there's a part of it that's always listening to God? What can I do to train myself to be successful in staying within the will of God on a day-by-day, decision-by-decision basis, keeping on that path? So this is essentially what I was thinking about. I was driving from home one day on I-76 East, coming back to Brighton, in Commerce City, 88th Street, where all those cars are starting to merge in. This little car kind of merges in front of me and cuts me off a little bit. It's not horrible. I'm a little bit annoyed, but not too much. Then I see that he's got a bumper sticker. And I think, here we go. It's from the font of it, I can just tell it's going to be one of those liberal, annoying bumper stickers, right? So there were no vibration strips to keep me from doing this, so I decided in my infinite wisdom to speed up and read it, because I guess I just needed to be annoyed. So I speed up and I read the bumper sticker that completely reset my day. It said, remember who you want to be. Remember who you want to be. I thought, wow, that's really smart. People get stressed, they get annoyed in traffic, but that's not usually who they want to be. The day's driven them into that. And this bumper sticker, it just urges us to, hey, remember who you want to be. It's pretty simple. I mean, I don't want to be rude guy. I don't want to be annoyed guy. Certainly don't want to be road rage guy. In fact, I want to be walking on the path guy, and that more consistently, right? It's not always easy, but it's simple to remember if you just try to remember who you want to be. So this stuck with me, and I thought for a few days, and I thought, okay, does this really help me answer the question of living in a life more in step with Christ more often? And the obvious answer is yes, as long as that's what you want to be doing. You want to be a guy on that path towards him. But I got to know what that looks like for me, and I think we need to know what that looks like for us. Then I can remember and choose to be that person. Paul makes it clear in Philippians 2, who we're called to be. Philippians 2:5. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of Father. Is that not a great passage? Paul calls us to have a Christ-like attitude. That's who we're called to be. So what does it look like for us? Again, I want to stay practical, and I want to separate this into two ideas or two ways of thinking. I want to look at practices And I want to look at traits and compass values, practices that I want to have as a part of who I am. So these are things that I do that kind of keep me on that walk. And traits and compass values that I want to make more a part of who I am. This is how I decide things and how I prioritize things. All right, so let's dive right in and look at some practices. Remember who you want to be. I want to be a person who has disciplined practices around quiet times. Maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. You're working your way up where you're praying and you're listening to what the Holy Spirit might be telling you. You've heard this before. It's so important. I want to be a person who's more disciplined around reading Scripture to listen, where you're purposely reading the Scripture just to listen to what the Holy Spirit might be saying to you. And then at other times, reading Scripture to study and learn. So now you're making time to read Scripture and find out what's really going on in that passage and why would that have been happening and what's going on. And you've heard all this too before, but I'm saying it again and again. Does God think it's important to be in Scripture? Yes, God thinks it's important. Deuteronomy, we all know this one. Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And then Jesus quotes that in Matthew 4. And Paul talks about it in Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, retruth, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the practice of reading Scripture would seem to be a good step in arming yourself to live in a Christ-like manner in a more consistent way. Again, nothing new to most of us, but it's critical to spend that time in Scripture. I'm just going to beat you over the heads with this today. And I want to show you how that can fuel the whole idea of reading Scripture and listening, how that can fuel the second aspect of this who I want to be idea. I want to be a person that lives by Christ-like values and traits. Now, obviously, we're going to get those values and traits from the time that we're spending in our quiet times and the reading and the listening when we're reading Scripture. And that's where I want to challenge you this morning, to really evaluate what you're doing and how you're spending your time. This just isn't something that you should do because someone told you. It's part of the journey. By listening when we read Scripture, really, really, really listening, this is giving God an opportunity to focus you on those things that he might need you to be working on. And it might be a long-term thing, it might be a short-term thing. Let me show you what I mean. If you have your Bibles, let's open them up. We're going to start in Proverbs 10, and it's also going to be up on the screen. And I'm not saying that this is the only way. I'm saying that if you need a way to really, something to get your hands around, a self-vision or a definition of who you want to be in this journey with Christ, I'm saying that this is a good way to come up with some of those things. This works in Scripture, it works with any part of Scripture. I like Proverbs because I don't have to go very far to be challenged. Proverbs just comes right out and gives you some things to think about. So we're going to take a portion of a chapter, and just free read it. And you're going to be asking yourself, do I need to make this more a part of who I am? All right, Proverbs 10. We'll get started with one verse and move forward. Solomon's Proverbs. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son, heartache to his mother. Happy Father's Day, guys. You get to deal with the cool sons. And apparently our wives get to deal with the foolish sons. No, I'm kidding. Fairly straightforward verse, but let's slow down and take a look. A wise son. Am I being wise that it would bring joy to my father? Am I being wise to that extent? Am I honoring my parents by applying and maybe even reflecting back to them the things that they have always taught me about what it means to be a Christian? Does this make the list of things that God would have me focus on today or this week or this month? So maybe I jot it down on a journal. Honor your parents. Maybe it's gardens. Maybe or guardians. Maybe it's honoring those who are just investing in me spiritually. All right, verse 2. Ill-gotten gains do not profit anyone, but righteousness rescues from death. The Lord will not let the righteous go hungry, but he denies the wicked what they crave. Well, I'm not stealing anything, so I think we can just go on to verse 4. Well, hold on. Let's take a closer look. Righteousness rescues from death. That sounds pretty good. and I definitely want to make sure that I'm in that category. I'm not stealing money, but I'm making gains by the way I'm working. Am I working in a righteous manner? Am I taking shortcuts that are hurting quality, and that's kind of like stealing time, isn't it? Am I not being honest about a project so that it can get done on time and I look really good? Maybe I'm withholding information about someone else's project because I still want to look good. Would that be ill-gotten gain? So am I acting with righteous integrity at work? So maybe integrity at work goes on the list. Now, for the record, I don't feel like I do that at work. But I want to let you see how you get into these scriptures and you really let them challenge who you are and what you're doing. Let's look at verse 4. Idle hands make one poor, but diligent hands bring riches. So I want to provide for my family. I want to get those things done at home that need getting done. Am I intentional and deliberate about that? Am I letting TV time take up too much of when I should be doing other things? Am I letting my cell phone take up 50% of the time that I should be working on things? Am I being wise with my time is really what that is. Let's go somewhere else. We're going to turn to Proverbs 27. And what you may or may not put on your list as you go through this exercise, it changes with time. It really could change every single time you do this. But God's going to call values to your mind, and he's going to call convictions to your heart that you can start thinking, man, I really do need to work on that and be spending some more time here. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you will not know, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. So when I first read verse 1, I thought, okay, this is don't put all your eggs in one basket. But verse 2 kind of says, no, it's a little bit more about humility. How many times do we brag about what we're going to do, and then we overpromise and we underdeliver and we destroy our own credibility? We might destroy someone else's credibility. Are we being wise about our own capabilities, and are we being wise about the way that we present those to others? So maybe humble and wise concerning plans goes on the list. Maybe it doesn't. That's between you and God and your prayer time. Let's look at verse 3. A stone is heavy, a sand is weighty, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. So the most prominent stone that we have in the Bible, other than Jesus as the cornerstone, would be the stone that guarded Jesus' tomb. Very, very hard, difficult to move. It was that way by design. Sand is hard to get off of you. So am I putting myself in a bad spot and a hard to get out of spot if I'm allowing myself to get angry over foolish things? Do I have an eternal perspective that lets me be even tempered through those really angering times in life? Have I made myself into an angry fool? So maybe even tempered becomes something that I work on. And a bonus of this process is that you're going to eventually stumble upon, if you haven't already, something I call your journey verse. And this is the verse that you adopt over a period of time, and it reminds you of who you want to be. It can confirm a strength that you have. It can challenge you on an opportunity area or convict you on a weakness that you have. And it as you continue down this journey, it reminds you constantly. You might adopt a verse in this way for every now and again, several years. Many of you guys already have one. My memory verse, and I've shared with a lot of you guys before, is James 1:19. I'm going to read it. My beloved brothers, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For me, this does both. It's affirming and convicting. I feel pretty good with the anger thing. I don't get angry very easy at all. Then there's the quick to listen and slow to speak thing. I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy all the time, but I get in a hurry and I trap myself. So a good journey verse is going to cause you to look in the mirror, and it's going to cause you to say, why am I doing that? Why would I be so quick to speak and just be a really bad listener? Is it pride? Is it arrogance? Am I just impatient? Am I currently in a place of self-centeredness? See how that works? One verse. Why am I not being who I want to be lately? Who Christ wants me to be. And once you focus on why, you can address it. And with the hope of the help of the Holy Spirit, you can adjust. So my very simple message this morning, get into Scripture and really, really, really listen with your heart. So in closing, look, this path that we've chosen as Christians, it's not an easy one. And if we'll listen, the Holy Spirit will guide us, and he's going to direct us. We'll be more consistent on his path and not our path. And we can remember who we want to be, and we can remember who Paul called us to be. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us, for your Son Jesus, who showed us that love firsthand. And thank you for your Holy Spirit that helps us see our way through every day. I pray for those that are still lost and they don't know your love and maybe haven't heard of your love. We pray that each one of us could be a light, help them find you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm going to ask Bill to come up here and share a few words. Thanks, Bill.